Amen. That's good. All right, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians, chapter number 2 this morning. If you'd like to stand as we open the pages of the infallible book. There's only one infallible book. I'm fallible, but the book is infallible. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 2, and verse number 1. The divine text says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Father, bless your word now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verses 1 and 5 are very instructive from 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. He said, "I did not come with excellency of speech." The reason that is used is to impress. Verse number 5, "Your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." The church doesn't know what the power of God is. How sad indeed. But I call your attention to verse number 2, where the Apostle Paul said, "I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ, comma, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." There's a lot of ways that the Lord Jesus Christ can be understood and known. He can be understood as the Creator, as the Redeemer and the Savior, as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And all these, my friend, are very important. But the Apostle Paul said, "When I came out, I came knowing nothing but Christ." There's a lot of things he could have taught them and said to them, but everything that he said and everything that he taught could only have any meaning and basis as it related to the Lord Jesus Christ. For example, the Ten Commandments have no meaning outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. For if I read the Ten Commandments without the Lord Jesus Christ, I am brought to utter desolation. But with the Lord Jesus Christ, I look at the commandments and say, thank God one kept them. And He kept them in perfection. And by His righteousness, by the fact that He kept them, and by His righteousness, I've been made righteous. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. But the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians 2, he said, "I came not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified." The crucifixion in itself is quite a doctrine. For it's one of the most heinous things that ever happened on this earth was when the Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to a tree. Who crucified Him, preacher? Well, I crucified Him. Pilate crucified Him. The Jews crucified Him. Satan had a hand in it. But in the very foreknowledge and counsel of God, before the foundation of the world, He was foreordained as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Therefore, the will of God crucified Him too. The Lord Jesus Christ and His crucifixion was so necessary. For without that, we'd all be lost without God and without hope. But I want to call your attention to what the Apostle said in verse 2. "I came knowing nothing but Jesus Christ." That, my friend, is the springboard, the basis, the foundation, the light, the understanding. It is the cohesion. It is everything that we are or ever hope to be. If we do not have a right understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything is in vain. We must know Him. We must know who He is. We must know what we can know about Him and what the sweet Holy Spirit would have us know. There is that Lord Jesus Christ that was from everlasting. There never was a time when He was not. There was never a moment in eternity past when the Lord Jesus Christ was not the Lord Jesus Christ. He always has been the Lord Jesus Christ. There was never a day, a moment in time, as far back as eternity can go. And my friend, I cannot go back that far in my mind. It is beyond me. But if you can carry yourself back as far as possible, you'll find Him as the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And he has always been that. In eternity past, in the Old Testament, I find him as the Lamb of God, as we see him as the angel of the Lord, revealed in the Old Testament scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ as the angel of the Lord manifest himself as far as men could understand him and receive him and know him, for there was far, far more to him than they could ever understand in one lifetime. It had to be revealed by the Holy Ghost in the Word of the living God. You are so privileged this morning to have a Bible that has given you a full revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, Jehovah God made himself known to mankind. He did not leave them alone. In every time, in every age, and in every place, God has manifested himself. Let that sink in. There never has been a time, nor will there ever be, when God has not made himself known. And in the Old Testament, he was known by his name eventually. He revealed that name in the book of Exodus. And he said, by my name was I not known. And he gave them the Tetragrammaton, Jod, Hey, Wow, Hey. And the Masoretes put vowel points to it. And we say Jehovah. And that name Jehovah is a powerful name, for it means I am that I am. I am the Savior. I am the Deliverer. I am the one that makes free. I am the Creator. I am the covenant-keeping God. My friend, to know that name is to be privileged above all. And he gave them his name, Jehovah. And Jehovah saves is the part that man can understand personally. Because once you have been saved, you know Jehovah the Savior. So in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that went up in that fire from that altar of Manoah. He is the one that spoke and brought worlds into existence. He is the one that brought Noah from the one side of the flood over to the other and shut the door and kept him safe as the judgment of God flowed across the face of the earth. He is the one that called the sun into being and put it down at night and raised the moon in its place. He is the one that created every animal there is and breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. Is the Lord Jesus Christ from everlasting to everlasting. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. I change not. He said, but there is the Christ of Bethlehem, the babe that is born in the manger, the little child, that little baby. Isn't he so precious? How many people like the baby Jesus? Oh, how they love the baby Jesus. He's so cuddly, he's so sweet, he's so cute, he's so nice, and they like to keep him as the baby Jesus. But my friend, he was born in Bethlehem of Judea. I don't think very many understood what happened that day. But that was the day that God became a man. My friend, if you don't understand that, pack your bag, shut your door, take the cross off of your building, for you got a religious institution, but it's not a Christian church. When God became flesh, everything changed. The whole order was turned upside down. The future now was about the God-man, where God became man and dwelt among us for 33 and one half years. Then there is the Christ of Calvary, the one who carried him, they carried to the cross, and there they nailed him on a tree. They shed his blood, his precious blood. It was shed on the cross. It was shed for you, and it was shed for me. The cross of Christ is a cross. It's a crossing point. It's a demarcation line. It's a moment in history. It's when everything came up to the cross. Everybody came up to the cross. The cross they must deal with. Every human soul of Adam's race must deal with the cross. That's why the Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth, I could come and preach about angels. I could come and talk about dispensations. I could come and speak of God in the Old Testament. But he said, I came knowing nothing among you but Christ and him crucified. The reason he said that is because of the letters that he'd heard from the church at Corinth. They had fornication going on. They had idolatry in the church. They were backbiters, and some of them thought they were full of the Holy Ghost and they were full of the devil. All kinds of problems to the church at Corinth. He said, you're a bunch of children. children, like children in a candy factory. You're playing with spiritual things and don't have a clue what you're fooling with. And he said, therefore, I'm going to come and take you back to the first fruits of the principles of Christ. I'm going to take you back to the foundation. And you got to get this right. Christ and him crucified. And what does it mean, preacher? Not only is it talking about how he was crucified, it was talking about why he was crucified. The issue of why Christ died on the cross. And then who did he die for? And then when he died, did he stay dead? Or did he rise from the dead? In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul spelled it out to them. He said, I want you to know, church at Corinth, that after his resurrection, he was seen of over 500 brethren at one time. He wanted them to know that, yea, he died. Yes, he gave up the ghost at the cross, but he didn't stay dead. That's when we start to shout. That's when we start to rejoice. That's where the church gets its power. That's when everything starts to change. It's, my friend, the fact that death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him. He is the Prince of Life, and he's victor over death, hell, and the grave. The church at Corinth never could really get a hold of the real doctrines that made a difference with them. My friend, they never could really understand what he was talking about. But to the church at Ephesus, they understood it. They got a hold of it. They embraced it. For at the church of Ephesus, he didn't rebuke them for not understanding the crucifixion. What he, my friend, at the church at Ephesus, he said to them in chapter number 1, you have received an inheritance that is undefiled, that fadeth not away, which is reserved for you in heaven. He raised them up from this world, and he said, you're citizens, not of this earth, but of the world to come. And he said, set your affection on things above, and not on things on this earth. The church of Colossae got a hold of it too. For the church of Colossae, he said, you understand that by him were all things made, and they were made by him and for him. And all of the church at Colossae rejoiced in that. Some of those churches, there is much difference as day and night between their spiritual growth. Church at Corinth, it's at the bottom. Church at Ephesus is at the top. And so, my friend, it was the Christ at the cross. Then the Lord Jesus Christ just preached to these people of the one who rose from the dead. Remember, if you'd been here 2,000 years ago and been to Jerusalem, you could have seen him walking on this earth. You say, boy, preacher, if I'd only been here, how I would have believed. I would have embraced him. Oh, I would have run and kissed his feet like that woman did when she washed them with her tears. Would you have, really? What makes you think that you'd be any different then as you are now? Mankind hasn't changed a bit. There were those who stood at the tomb of Lazarus and watched a dead man come out of the grave, and they didn't believe. They ran back to their cronies and told them what had happened. Well, you say, preacher, what will it take for me to believe? Remember, in every generation, God makes himself known. He reveals himself in every generation. In eternity past, before there was anything, there was nothing to reveal to. Just God abiding in his glory. How long did he abide like that? Forever. There is no beginning. The Almighty has always been the Almighty. But oh, how he showed Moses when the bush burned. How Adam understood him when he placed the cherubim there at the garden. How they knew him when that Holy Ghost fire came down on that tabernacle and the Red Sea was split apart and they walked across on dry ground. How they understood him as the angel of the Lord came and appeared in the Old Testament. Time and again, our fathers saw something that stirred and moved their soul. And then when Christ was here 2,000 years ago, the Apostle John said, we beheld his glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John saw a little deeper than all the rest of them did. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. The Apostle John saw something that just flew across the head of the rest of them. It was John standing there at the cross when all the rest of the disciples had fled for fear. He stood with the women. John stood there. Yeah, he did. He didn't flee in fear. John stood right there. You know why? He knew about the one dying on that cross. He said, he's the Lamb of God. He's the Word of God. He's the Word that that was in the beginning, and by him all things exist, and by him all things consist, and by him all things are held together. In the beginning was the Word. Tell us, John. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'll tell you something, and I want you to understand it real good. There's one sitting here that'll not see death till he sees me come. And they started looking at each other. They couldn't figure out what he's talking about. What he's talking about. That's because they couldn't see into his heart. But John did. John did. How do you know, preacher? He wrote the book of Revelation. And he said, behold, heaven is opened, and a white horse, and he that sat upon him, yeah, what's called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. John saw that 2,000 years ago. He saw the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Was that prophecy fulfilled? Yeah, it was. If the Son of God says it, it's going to happen as surely as he said it. And so, my friend, there were those who watched him die, watched them roll a stone in front of the tomb, heard the witnesses that he was alive, and still didn't believe. But the disciples were gathered together for fear of the Jews. They'd met inside the house. Oh, what a strong bunch we've got. Here they'd question, and they doubt, and they wonder, and they worry. And Mary Magdalene shows up, and she says, I've seen the Lord. I've seen him. He's alive. I've touched him. He lives. And they said, she must be a crazy woman. She must be insane. We watched him die. His word didn't get any further than their brain. Your brain will never receive faith. Your mind doesn't have that capacity. But the heart, it can reach way beyond what the mind can understand. And I'll tell you what, when John showed up and told them, I've seen him, he's alive, he's living. And he said, where's Peter? I gotta tell him too. He was way off somewhere, out by himself. And that angel said, go tell the disciples and Peter that I'm alive. I'm alive. He went out into the woods. He couldn't find him at first. He kept hunting for him. And then he heard the sound out there in the dark of the woods, down next to a creek somewhere. He could hear the moans and the groans. And it sounded like Peter. As he drew near, he could hear weeping. He was an old boy that the Lord Jesus had said, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood hath not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Oh, Peter, he'd been to the Mount of Transfiguration. But his faith had been tested. It had been tried. It had been put to the final test. And he'd failed. He was finished. Probably just a few hours away from taking his own life. Despondent and in despair. And as John drew nigh, he could hear him crying. He could hear him weeping. He could hear it. Oh, he could hear it. And he got near him and he said, hey, Peter. Hey, Peter. Peter said, don't bother me. Don't bother me. I've denied the Lord. He got mad to him and he said, let me tell you about the Lord. He's alive. He lives. What? He's alive. And he said, come get you. He said, come and get you. And the two of them ran together. And oh, did they run. And one outran the other. Where were they going, preacher? They were going to the tomb. They were headed to the tomb. Back to where his body lay. But he wasn't in there. He was alive. My friend, listen to me. The Lord God Almighty makes himself known in every generation. He makes himself known in every generation. I didn't get to see him live. I didn't get to see his flesh. I didn't know him after the flesh. I wasn't around the campfires he taught at night. I wasn't among the 5,000 that he fed. I wasn't there when he walked on water. I didn't see him raise the dead. I didn't see him heal the leper. I didn't see him cast out the devils. But I believe. I'm one of them that Peter said, having not seen, yet believing. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's my joy. I'm a believer. But listen to me. He ascended to the right hand of the Father. He arose from the dead. He looked at death And he looked at hell and said, you have no power over me. And they had to turn him loose. And he ascended to the right hand of the Father. But in the very moment he ascended, the Holy Ghost descended. He came back out of heaven. But he didn't just come as the Holy Ghost. He came as the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that one that is from everlasting to everlasting? You know that eternal God I'm talking about? The one that had no beginning and will have no end. The Holy Ghost sent down from God out of heaven. And on the day of Pentecost, he came in power. He came in glory. He came in might. He came baptizing believers. But folks, let me tell you something. He makes himself known in every generation. And you know what he's doing today? He's the Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of the Holy Ghost in the believer. I've got one in me that's sitting at the right hand of the Father. I've got one in me this morning that has all power in heaven and earth given unto him. I've got one in me that says the word and the dead come forth. The one that indwells my soul this morning is the resurrected, glorified Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, he's here in the power of the Holy Ghost. He's making himself known in this generation by the power of the Spirit of the living God. Soon and very soon, he'll appear in the heavens in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, unannounced for the world to know, in complete secrecy and darkness to them. They won't have a clue. But as it says in the Song of Solomon, behold, my beloved cometh to me as a rose skipping upon the mountains. As he looks through the lattice work, for just a moment, the voice of the Son of God comes down into the heart of the believer. He gets your attention. Are you listening? For just a moment. How much of a moment? In a moment of time. But you see him looking through the lattice work. You see his face as he looks down into his creation. And before you could even see, hear, understand what's going on, you'll hear a thunderous command come down from glory. Come up hither. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Yeah. I'm taking you out of this hell hole. I'm taking you from the sewer. I'm calling you out of this world of time into eternity. Let the devil's followers follow the devil. Let him that is filthy be filthy still. Let them continue on in the rebellion and unbelief. They're completely ignorant then. They'll be ignorant now. And he calls our names. And we meet him in the clouds. And for 7 years we feast. For 7 years we rejoice. For 7 years we shout. For 7 years we praise God. Then he arises from the table. The last time he arose from the table, his disciples were bidding around him. They were seated around him. He arose from the table, cast aside his garments, and prepared to go to the cross. This time he will arise from the table. He'll put on the royal diadem. He'll put a crown on his head. He'll walk out and he'll mount power and glory. And the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will come out of glory. My friend, don't get in my way. Get out of my way. I'm heading for my horse. For I'm coming with him. Amen. We're coming down into the devil's domain, into his kingdom, into his seat of power, into his darkness, into his deceit. And deceit and darkness has never known a day like this tribulation period that's coming. And you already see the first fruits of it right now. As he comes down, he comes as a bolt of lightning, as a ray of light, as light himself, for he is light. And my friend, the heavens begin to split open. The demons that cover this earth, in the powers of hell, of the air above us, spiritual wickedness in high places, they are literally scared to death, for the Son of God begins to descend into their very midst. They scurry like rats leaving a ship, and the Lord Jesus Christ opens a way. He opens a way. It is a blood-bought way. It is a way of light down into this world and into its and to its atmosphere, and we come with him. Now, friend, get ready. You may never fought a moment of war in your life, but you're going to war. For the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is coming. And I'm going to tell you something. An old time preacher put it this way. The Lord Jesus is coming back and he's mad. Mad might be a good way to put it. But I'm going to tell you this. He's not just coming back to make war. He's coming back to take the kingdoms of this world. They'll be his forever and ever. And we're coming with him. I'm looking for the going up. In my Sunday school class this morning, I gave them 10 ways that you're being monitored, listened to, and even controlled. And it's not a joke. It's a reality. That's the technological aspect of it. You're watching the political aspect of it happening right now. We are right on the precipice, the verge of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know everybody thinks we're crazy and it's a big joke to them, but it won't be a joke when we're gone. There were those who looked for his first coming and saw it. Simeon said, "Let thy servant depart in peace, for I have seen thy salvation." There are those who look for his second coming. And the last generation to see it is the terminal generation for the church of God. Are you ready? If you're not ready right now, you won't be ready 5 minutes from now. Because we don't have 5 minutes. Well, it's always, no, you don't have 5 minutes. The rapture of the church could take place just like that and it's over. Bibles will fall to the floor. Little children come up missing. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. And if you could be standing outside when the rapture takes place, there's a huge graveyard right behind us. Huge. It's big. I've been in that graveyard, I don't know how many, 20, 30 times, I don't know. Time and time again, I've been in that graveyard. I know a whole lot of people that's left this world whose body is buried out there in that graveyard. And at the trump, graves will open. Up, the dead will rise first. Dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I've delivered my soul. I preach what you put on my heart. Now, Lord, may it help somebody. Somebody walked in this house this morning totally unprepared. They can walk out of here this morning ready. They walked in here unsaved. They can leave saved. They walked in here lost. They can walk out born again. They can walk in here laden with sins, condemnation, and the burden of their sins. They can walk out free and clean. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand up and sing. Brother, what have we got?
Page number 383 in the All-American.
If I go away, I will come again. The same one that said that said, "If any man comes unto me, I will in no wise cast him out." I came to him, he proved himself true. He did not cast me out, he saved me. Well, if he was true about saving me, then he is true about coming again. Amen. Would you come? Are you ready?
Out of weakness, watch and praise. Thine in me, thine all in all.
Got to be ready.
Jesus,
be ye therefore ready, he said, for in such an hour as ye think not. Be ready. Folks, he has not left us without a witness. He is present with us. He's present in the power of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have the Holy Spirit, you've got the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you're born again, you've got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Sing another verse.
Lord, now indeed I come. I come and not alone.
Won't you come?
Can it change the leper's heart?
don't you come?
Jesus paid it all.
Won't you come? Won't you come? Back in my office right next to where I sit back here, there's a photograph. About five or six people in it. One of them is my mother. I took that photograph, Beaumont Avenue Baptist Church, outside about 35 years ago, 30, 32, 33, somewhere in there, a long time ago. My mother photographed, my mother died in 1980, 30 years ago. I look at that and I think of the time that's passed since then, 30 years. She was an agnostic all of her life. She bought the lie of philosophy and psychology and all the rest of it. She bought it. She read a lot. She's a very smart woman. But they told her over at the University of Tennessee Hospital she had cancer. I remember how upset she got. She had lung cancer. She was a smoker all of her life. She was also an alcoholic, a drunk. And she quit drinking. Because the doctor told her after she went into DTs up in Chicago, Illinois, he said, you do it one more time, he said, it'll kill you. So she quit. She quit drinking. But she kept smoking, and she got lung cancer. I remember praying with her. I remember visiting with her in the hospital. I remember how upset she was. And I remember how no comfort from her philosophers and her psychologists and her books. No comfort. No comfort. I'll never forget when she looked at me that time and she said, tell me about Jesus. And I know my mother, she would never have done that unless she really wanted to know. She tried all the rest of them. They were physicians of no value. And I told her about Jesus. She didn't live too long after that, but she had Jesus. Isn't that good? She had Jesus. Well, that's no good. Let's pray for her. Yeah, let's pray for her. Yeah, she needs to. She needs to really take care of herself right now. What has she got in both lungs or one lung? You don't know if it's double pneumonia or just one. Doesn't make any difference. She's got walking pneumonia. She's a sick girl. Hear the breathing. Yeah. Okay. Let's pray for her. Victoria, her granddaughter. Lift her up in prayer. She's about 18, 19, 20 years, 18. Yes, ma'am. Right.
Sad, but she's only 9 years old. She was a nurse, but she had health problems when she was 40. Got to work, and she just went till she couldn't go no longer.
My goodness. All right. Yes, sir.